You know, I believe there is something that unites together the radical atheist, the radical left, and the radical gay activists. It's going to open your eyes today.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Boy, I've got some fascinating news, fascinating information, some fascinating things to talk about today. Eye-openers, an amazing quote from a leading TV station in Egypt. You're not going to believe this. An amazing quote from a leading gay activist, and some great reports of what God is doing around the world, along with some sobering news here in America. Welcome to the broadcast. This is Michael Brown, your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. Number to call to get in the program, to join in the conversation, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I want to explore something with you today on The Line of Fire, namely, what is the connection between radical atheism, radical gay activism, and the radical left? I believe there is actually a spiritual connection, that there is actually something that unites these different groups together. As different as they may be, as much overlap as they have, I believe there's something in common, a scriptural principle that unites them together. I'll talk about that with you today. Share some of these other fascinating quotes with you, and maybe interact with some critics as well. But first, some good news. We know about the atrocities being committed by ISIS. We hear about people from the West joining in to fight with ISIS. We often wonder why in the world they would join and why people would be joined to such a murderous radical Islam. Well, there's another side to the story also. That side to the story is that Muslims are converting to the faith, are becoming followers of Jesus because of what they see, because of the treatment that they experience at the hands of other Muslims versus the treatment they experience at the hands of Christians. And there's an article I found in a number of different websites, Muslims Converting to Christianity After ISIS Atrocities. And it says this: nearly 200,000 Muslims of the Yazidi tribe, so they have distinct beliefs within Islam, nearly 200,000 Muslims of the Yazidi tribe are fleeing northern Iraq due to the current atrocities of ISIS. Many of these fugitives are turning to Christianity after seeing the stark contrast in behavior of the members of the two religions. True to the teachings of Jesus in Matthew 7, 16 to 20, that people will know us by our fruit. The refugees report finding their neighbors turning on them and persecuting them. They see fellow Islamists executing many Christians and Muslims and taking their wives and daughters as slaves or for sexual purposes. One recent convert states, quote, "The kindness and generosity of Christians creates a gap between their faith and Muslims as great as that between earth and sky. While our fellow Muslims betrayed us, the Christians showed us real humanity and love." This convert and others continually express the question, why did Muslims not show this attitude towards others? Samaritan's Purse, serving the community of refugees, has brought water, supplies, and other necessities for those who left their homes with nothing. They hand out blankets and other items in the name of Christ and witness to those in desperate need. There is intense persecution. There is great suffering. We know that. In the midst of it, God is at work. The gospel is going forth, and Muslims are recognizing there's a difference between one attitude that sacrifices for the good of others and gives life, and the other that takes life. 866-34-TRUTH. We will be right back.
Change the world.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome, friends, to The Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. I'll take your calls on a wide range of subjects today, but let me tell you where I want to focus. I've just been struck by the aggressive nature of the attack on our religious freedoms in America today. I've been struck by how rabid things have become. I use the term hysterical in terms of the reaction to the Religious Freedom Restoration Act passed in Indiana. The absolute madness of governors and mayors banning state-funded travel from their cities or states. State-funded travel that was non-essential to the state of Indiana when they passed the bill that mirrored the 1993 bill signed by President Clinton. The word hysterical or hysteria I'm finding used by many, many others reporting on this as well, and it's the best way to describe it. And in point of fact, when I see the aggressive nature of the attack on our freedoms of religion, let's remember that freedom of religion is a foundation of our nation. It is one of the key principles that our founding fathers wanted to write into our fundamental documents. It is something that goes back to the very origins of our country, even before we were the United States of America. To see freedoms of religion so trashed, so assaulted, so maligned, so put in second-class status is mind-boggling. Now, I wrote an article last night. I actually preached about this as well yesterday morning at my home congregation. And it's called What's Really Behind the Attack on Religious Freedoms? Listen to some quotes from the so-called new atheists, Sam Harris, Steven Weinberg, Richard Dawkins, Richard Warty, different ones that Dinesh D'Souza quoted in a book that he wrote a few years ago called What's So Great About Christianity. Listen to what Sam Harris said. I would be the first to admit that the prospects for eradicating religion in our time do not seem good. In other words, that would be great. That's the goal that he'd like, but he doesn't think it's realistic. Still, the same could have been said about efforts to abolish slavery at the end of the 18th century. So religious beliefs, in his view, are just like slavery, both of which should be abolished. Physicist Steven Weinberg, Dinesh D'Souza, noted that, according to Weinberg, if scientists can destroy the influence of religion on young people, quote, then I think that may be the most important contribution that we can make. Steven Weinberg, physicist. Dawkins, Richard Dawkins, it's one thing to say people should be free to believe whatever they like, but should they be free to impose their beliefs on their children? Is there something to be said for society stepping in? What about bringing up children to believe manifest falsehoods? Isn't it always a form of child abuse to label children as possessors of beliefs that they are too young to have thought out? Maybe society should step in and stop parents from teaching religion to their children. It's basically what Dawkins is saying. Philosopher Richard Rorty, even more direct. He wants parents who send their children to college to know that, quote, as professors, we are going to go right on trying to discredit you in the eyes of your children, trying to strip your fundamentalist religious community of dignity, trying to make your views seem silly rather than discussable. This is not a live and let live mentality. This is not a matter of, hey, we all have our different views. This is a matter of wanting to eradicate our faith, eradicate our religious beliefs from the home, from the school, from society. And what makes the new atheists new is not that they have new arguments. In fact, they have more to oppose them now with our scientific knowledge that points to God more than any other generation has been able to use science to point to God. What makes the new atheist new is not their atheism, but the radical nature of it and its aggressiveness. That's what makes it new in that respect. Well, you say, what's that got to do with gay activism and their gays who are religious? And what's that got to do gay activism or the radical left. I'll tell you what it has to do with it. To me, what unites all these is the mentality, we will not have God and his son rule over us. To me, that's what unites these different disparate groups. And yes, they're gay atheists and they're religious gays. So, I mean, you've got the whole range there. And yet what's commonly found, even among the religious gay activists, is they want religious rights to go one way only. Those standards of the word, those standards of God, that which God has laid out. No, they don't want that. They want to have the freedom to practice their faith in the workplace and to live it out because they believe it's right, but they don't want us to have the same freedom. They'll codify us as bigots and haters. Psalm 2, verses 2 and 3. The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us burst their bonds apart and cast away their cords from us. I believe this is the same attitude. This is the same attitude that unites radical atheists, radical gay activists, and the radical left. To repeat, we will not have God and his son reign over us. Now, I want to be perfectly clear. I do not believe in a theocracy. When Jesus returns, there will be a theocracy. When Jesus returns, he will set up his kingdom on the earth and rule and reign, and everyone will have to obey him or else. I do not believe in trying to establish a theocracy before Jesus comes. I believe in us making an impact in society. I believe in us being disciples and making disciples. I believe in us getting involved in the political process in a country like America where we can do that. I believe in us shining the light every way we know how, advocating for righteousness, caring for the poor, swimming against the tide, going against the grain, standing up for what's right. I believe that we should do all of that and have whatever influence we can, positive influence in education, in media, in politics, and so on. I absolutely believe that. I don't believe that we should try to take over and force others to submit to our views. I believe there should be great freedom in America for people of different viewpoints, but that our viewpoints as Christians, as believers, should have an impact in the society as much as we're able. We should advocate for the life of the unborn. We should advocate pro-life every way that we know how. We should advocate for marriage as God intended it, believing that's in the best interest of society. We should do all that, which is different than a theocracy where God rules and reigns. And Israel was a theocracy, ancient Israel. And Israel had to give account to God in that respect through a special covenant. It's different today. Nonetheless, every human being will give account to God one day. America gives account to God as a nation. And we can rise and fall according to that. And because of that, because of the fact that you have believers advocating for righteousness, because of the fact that you have believers preaching the gospel, because of the fact that you have believers standing for what's right in the society, there is opposition. And I believe it is a common spiritual thread between the radical atheists, the radical gay activists, the radical leftists. We don't want God as our God. We don't want the Son to reign over us. We don't want these standards, and we don't want you to have your freedom to practice this faith. It is a common thread. And now that the tide has turned enough, despite the overwhelming proportion of Americans who identify as Christians, although only a percentage of that is born again, but the large amount of Americans who identify as Christians are now overtaken by an anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-God, anti-Bible mentality. It's almost like the cat is out of the bag now and people can just go for it in that respect, which means there must be a greater vigilance on our end. I'll give you some thoughts in terms of how we respond to this, but I believe it is a common thread. Now, I want to put out a question for you. Do you believe that the day could well be coming in America where it would be illegal for me to get on the radio and talk about things like this? Do you think that day could come in America? Do you think the day could come in America when it would be illegal to preach about these things from behind the pulpit? Do you think that day could really come here in America? 866-348-7884. The day when it would be illegal to address certain cultural and moral issues from the pulpit through the airwaves. Do you think that day could be coming our way here in America? 866-34-TRUTH. And all right, tell you what, as soon as we come back, I want to mention to you a very relevant special resource offer. My guest, my friend Jonathan Kahn, will be joining me as a guest later this week to talk about it as well. Stay tuned.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, friends, there's a new DVD that Jonathan Kahn has put out, New York Times bestselling author Jonathan Kahn. It's called The Mystery of the Shemitah Unlocked. Jonathan's going to join me, God willing, on Wednesday to talk about that on the air, what's been happening in America in this year of the Shemitah, the mystery of the Shemitah unlocked. You can get the DVD plus the CD of our interview for just $20, and we'll pay the postage. Go to my website, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, askdrbrown.org to find out more. You can watch more and see some excerpts from the DVD on a special video there. You can call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. All right, before the break, I asked the question, do you think that it could soon be illegal in America for me to be on the airwaves talking about these sensitive moral issues or preaching them behind the pulpit? I'll get your calls in a moment. But there's an article in the New York Times came out a couple days ago. The Case Against Gay Marriage, Top Law Firms Won't Touch It, by Adam Liptak, came out 2 days ago exactly. And the Times quoted Michael W. McConnell, a former federal appeals court judge who teaches law at Stanford, and he said, the level of sheer desire to crush dissent is pretty unprecedented. The level of sheer desire to crush dissent is pretty unprecedented. In other words, you dare argue that marriage is the union of a man and woman. As a lawyer, as a law firm, and there will be massive opposition to you crushing dissent against you. That's what he says. And the Times noted that whereas public opinion remains divided on the question of same-sex so-called marriage, no major legal firms are willing to write briefs to the Supreme Court against the redefinition of marriage, despite the fact that representing unpopular clients has a long and proud tradition in American justice, one that experts in legal ethics say is central to the adversarial system. Right down to the fact that leading law firms today have lined up to defend detainees at Guantanamo Bay, Cuba, some accused of ties to Al-Qaeda. They're lining up to defend them, but they won't line up to defend marriage. It is mind-boggling how things have shifted, how things have changed, and in a very short period of time at that. And what has to be one of the craziest quotes from an attorney that I've seen in a while, Evan Wolfson, leading gay activist, president of Freedom to Marry, himself an attorney, is explaining why prominent lawyers are not taking the side of marriage as the union of a man and woman, but rather taking the side of the redefinition of marriage. And listen to what he says. It's so clear that there are no good arguments against marriage equality. Lawyers can see the truth. That has to be one of the zaniest quotes I have read. That there are no good arguments against redefining marriage? I think Wolfson actually means it. I think he actually believes what he said. You talk about being self-deceived. no good arguments against redefining marriage? Is he serious? No, the fact is there's massive backlash when you do. And a lot of these law firms are simply not willing to take the backlash. They're not willing to take the flood of bad publicity that's going to come their way, and they'll get labeled bigots and no better than the KKK or Nazis. And many are radically liberal as well. Let's remember that the American Bar Association, was it back in 92, I believe, came out with a pro-abortion position and have been strongly pro-abortion since. And when they were urged by the president at that time to stay neutral on this, they said, no, we are going to take the position of pro-abortion. So it's not a surprise that the American Bar Association is taking the pro-redefinition of marriage side. That's not a surprise given its liberalism. The only surprise is that major law firms won't file briefs on behalf of marriage because of the backlash they know they're going to get. Ryan Anderson from the Heritage Foundation said when the former Solicitor General and superstar Supreme Court litigator is forced to resign from his partnership, that shows a lot. He's talking about when in the case of United States versus Windsor, Paul D. Clement, who served as Solicitor General in the Bush administration, has argued more than 75 cases in the Supreme Court. His law firm, King & Spalding, was arguing the case that would be our side of it, and his firm, under pressure, withdrew. So he then quit. I mean, it's mind-boggling to see what's happening, friends, and we need to fight fire with fire, meaning we need to dig in, hold to our convictions, pray fervently, because we're not fighting a natural battle, we're fighting a spiritual battle. Pray fervently and in faith, and preach Jesus without shame, without fear, and aggressively go and make disciples. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us go to the phones, starting in Woodbridge, Virginia. Matt, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Salute. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
Glad to hear that. I'm going to throw this out there regarding your idea or your question about whether or not it would eventually become illegal to preach the Christian.
Uh-huh.
My thoughts on that are, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy theory, but I'm just not a fan of conspiracy theories in general, but I will say that the evidence is overwhelming that anything is possible regarding that. Now, what I worry about more is the unpopularity, the discrediting of it, that it eventually becomes the Rubik's Cube of religion, that nobody even picks them up anymore, and the churches are just empty. So it's not about it being illegal, more about what I worry about is the unpopularity. The radio doesn't want to broadcast it anymore because nobody cares.
Got it. Yeah, and listen, when you continually discredit, demonize, and in today's culture, people not thinking deeply, as I've written about, talked about recently, the misinformation mobs, you just tweet one thing out, it becomes truth, and everybody repeats it, even if it's a complete myth. Very dangerous. Now, let me say this. If I told you 10 years ago that a state would pass a Religious Freedom Restoration Act very similar to what the federal government passed in 1993, and as a result of that, for fear that gays would be discriminated against, the governor of New York, Andrew Cuomo, would ban all non-essential state-funded travel to the state that passed that bill, and that people would be losing their businesses because they refused to participate in a same-sex wedding ceremony. If I told you that 10 years ago, that would have sounded far crazier than telling you today that it could be illegal to preach and teach on these subjects in the coming years. The first would be a greater jump than the second. Remember, friends, check out the special offer, AskDrBrown.org. You talk about a riveting DVD, The Mystery of the Shemitah, an eye-opener.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire broadcast, 866-34-TRUTH. Do you think the day could be coming when it would be illegal to preach about sexual morality from the pulpit, that it could be illegal to do so through the airwaves? Look, a preacher in England, street preacher, was recently found guilty and fined for quoting Leviticus 18:22 or Leviticus 20:13 on the street, for quoting scripture that spoke against homosexual practice and under the Old Testament law was punishable by death. Now, he was preaching the gospel of Jesus, and he was elucidating different sins which were prohibited according to scripture. And the judge found him guilty and said, if you're going to address that, you need to use a different scripture. If it could happen in England, why couldn't it happen here in America? The tragedy to me is, as all this is happening in society around us, from the attack on the faith by the new atheists over a decade of that now, as that continues to spread and have its influence. And Josh McDowell said, last year I was at an event and he was one of the speakers, and he mentioned that objections to the faith that he used to hear from people that were 18 or 20, he's hearing it now from people who are 13 or 14, not because they're more sophisticated thinkers than they used to be, but rather because they are exposed to this so much more widely on internet and through social media. So they're becoming familiar with the arguments and just attacking this, you know, Bronze Age God and this antiquated book and so on and so forth. So it's a situation now where the assault has increased, the overt attack on religious freedoms, the hatred expressed towards the faith, hence my statement that there is a common denominator behind the radical atheists and the radical gay activists and the radical left, and that is the mindset: we will not have God and his son rule over us. We will not have their standards over us. But as aggressive as the attack is against us, it seems that much of the Church of America is still sleeping, happy to have nice services, happy to listen to lovely, entertaining, shortened messages. I mean, it's almost like an enemy army. I'm using an analogy here. An enemy army has invaded our coasts and is ready to attack and destroy our nation. I'm using an analogy here. And yet our armies are going to country clubs on the weekend and saying, isn't this wonderful, as opposed to being in training. Now, I'm not talking about a military battle here. I'm talking about a spiritual battle, but I'm using that analogy. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to the Bronx. Ravi, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Oh, thank you. Good afternoon. I want to congratulate you on all that you do.
Thank
you. However,
I
mean, based on the question you just put forward, I think if we sit back and look, as we've been doing, I'm talking about Christians, for all this while, yeah, we are surely going to get there, and pretty quick, looking at what is going on. I see the situation as a situation whereby the giants are quiet and having the smaller ones, or the eagles are quiet and having the pigeons have a fool's day. And I think one thing we can do to stop this crazy situation is trying to organize this thing under a more kind of not identifying religious organizations, but just a more social platform, say like a straight parade in New York City annually, whereby anybody who believes in being straight.
Yeah, tell you what, I've got to jump in, but what can we do in a united way to get the message of Jesus and biblical morality out together? Hey, Ravi, thank you for the call, sir. We'll be right back.
Fire we want, for fire we please. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, very, very interesting. Christian attorney just sent me a note. The terror felt by large firms over any moderate support for marriage is staggering and unprecedented in the intensity and rapidity of the change. Friends, it's not just something happening in the natural. I believe it is spiritual in nature and that we need to stand. Yes, do what we can in the natural. Yes, join together in the natural. Yes, make our voices heard and vote accordingly and stand for what's right in the natural. But even more, we've got to take this up spiritually. 866-34-TRUTH. Do you believe the day could come in America where it will be illegal to preach against homosexual practice from the pulpit, where it would be illegal to speak about it in a negative way as sinful in God's sight, or to say that marriage is not the union of two men or two women, but marriage is only the union of a man and woman together? You think the day could come in America would be illegal to do that on radio or TV or behind the pulpit or on the street? 866-34-TRUTH. Going to come back to that question in a moment, but first, just going back to Islam for a moment. David in Kansas City, Missouri, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
My name is Fabian. The question about basically in America where you're not able to preach against or advocate against gay or homosexuality, I honestly don't believe that that will come. I don't think that they will make it to where preach about it, because if they did that, then they wouldn't be able to advocate it. Like Obama was saying that he doesn't want to have people go through some kind of therapy or gay conversion therapy. If he could say that, then I believe we're always going to be able to say against it, being gay.
Well, no, it's the exact opposite. I mean, you can have your opinion on it, but it's the exact opposite, Fabian. In other words, the president wants to ban the ability for a minor to get counseling, to sit and talk with someone who will help them get to the root of their same-sex attractions or gender identity confusion. If he wants to ban that, it's not much of a jump to say that you want to ban people preaching against it. You want to ban people saying that change is possible.
What's their argument to say against it?
Well, it's bigotry against biblical viewpoints.
They don't have any kind of standing. Like, if you really wanted to argue them, it's as simple as pulling out science. I mean, when a man and a woman lay together, 9 months later, you get a child. That's scientific. You could prove that. If a man and a man lay together, you don't have anything.
Right, we understand that, fully understand that, Fabian.
If you want to argue these guys, you have to use their own language against them.
I think you're missing the point. This has nothing to do with science or facts. This has nothing to do with science or facts whatsoever. This has to do with bigotry. This has to do with hatred of
the
exactly. So why couldn't it be, sir? I know initially you'd called to talk about Islam, but since you'd switched over, we'll just stay where we are. That's the whole point. It has nothing whatsoever to do with being rational, with being reasonable. In their eyes, this is the new civil rights movement. In their eyes, to say that two men or two women can't, quote, marry is to be bigoted and hateful and homophobic. In their eyes, to say a man who identifies as a woman should not use the ladies' room, that is being transphobic. In their eyes, the idea that anyone could possibly change their orientation is being bigoted and hateful and not celebrating homosexuality. That's the whole point. We can be as rational and clear and scientific and reasonable as we want, but look, I've mentioned this. Talking to a guy in Charlotte, North Carolina a few weeks ago, he told me it is primitive to believe that gender is determined by biology and chromosomes. Primitive. Rather, gender is determined by whatever you think in your head. So if you think you're a male, even though genetically, chromosomally, biologically, you're female, then you are what you think. That is completely irrational, and that's ultimately what we are dealing with. Thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Stafford, Virginia. Michelle, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. It's good to get to talk to you. I actually am a believer that, you know, 15 to 20 years ago, this would never have even been thought of that this would happen, as you said. But look at it now, and I'm going to take it one step farther. I truly believe that the entire church is going to have to go underground, because our religion, our faith, is the only one that is constantly trashed, that they're trying to pick away at it. So basically, we won't have that anymore. Christianity will be illegal, but all of the other false religions, they're fine. And obviously, because ours is the one with the one true God. And it just irks me, because I do know of homosexual couples that go to church, that, you know, they do that, but they don't believe the scriptures that actually coincide with the homosexuality. They just decide to write that out of their Bible. And
yeah, and
the
problem is, yeah, just to jump in here, Michelle, the problem is that because those verses are in the Bible, and because there are Christians who, based on their faith, cannot participate in things that they find to be a violation of their faith, then you cannot promote the celebration of homosexuality, and that remains an open wound and an open sore among many. In other words, they've made very clear that they want societal acceptance. And, you know, honestly, if the government didn't recognize my marriage to Nancy and disqualified all marriages that were religious marriages, and so, that's the state's loss. You know what I'm saying? I could care less in terms of acceptance. Yeah, I mean, there's certain benefits that we have, great, but I didn't marry for benefits. I married out of love. And if society accepts it or rejects it, it's not the issue to me. Michelle, thank you for the call. Let's go to Alexandria, Virginia. Emmy, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you. I agree with her. I think it's sooner is going to be sooner. The other thing is it's way later than we think we are right now. The reason is as Clinton and Rice have gone to Africa and told them unless they accepted homosexuality, they will hold relief, or they will hold the aid money that they will be giving. If that much, if they have gone boldly and say that to Africans, when they come in power, especially if Clinton become in power, we better go just like, I know it's going to be definite. It's going to be definite. She will not let us going to be preaching or anything. Let's look at Texas right now. People have to submit, the pastors have to submit their biblical teaching to the government. So it is later than we think it is.
I appreciate that. You know, of course, what happened in Houston with pastors being subpoenaed to send in their messages, their sermons, their emails, of course, that part got dropped under massive pressure. But the fact that the city attorney and mayor of Houston thought that they could go for that was an eye-opener enough, a shocker enough that brought another wake-up call to America. Even the IRS laws that came out, 60, 70 years ago, that prohibited pastors from weighing in on a certain level on political issues, that's really a break from our earlier tradition in America. I don't believe we should be focusing on politics from the pulpit, but politics, morality, politics, and faith, they intertwine in many, many different ways. bottom line is this. We have enough freedom right now. We have enough freedom right now to do what I'm doing on the radio and to preach what we want before the Lord from the pulpits. Why aren't we using that freedom? Are we letting fear of maybe if we preach the truth, giving will go down in the congregation? Are we letting that stop us? Are we letting fear of public opinion stop us? Is it something else? What's stopping you from preaching and teaching and leading with freedom today? We have it. Let's use it.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Just ask for your opinion. If you believe the day could come in America where it would be illegal to preach from the pulpit against homosexual practice or to say that marriage is not the union of two men or two women, that it could be illegal to do it through the airwaves, as I'm doing now on the radio or on TV. What do you think? 866-34-TRUTH. Charlotte, North Carolina, Grady, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, I think God certainly has given you the a sound mind. I would say yes, sooner or later, because we are, judged from maybe a secular point of view, the normalcy bias that happened in Nazi Germany where the Jews were just kind of saying this couldn't happen, this couldn't happen. And then I think the fact that Satan knows that his time is short. So from the spiritual point of view, things are beginning to heat up to bring about the events for the return of Christ. So you've got to... just as even in the New Testament, that when the new church was forming, there was a lot of opposition to the way, as it was called, and we represent the way today, and so it's going to be silent, and your voice is. Certainly one that's going to be targeted.
Well, Grady, I appreciate the call and recognizing that we could be one of the voices that does get targeted. But look, we're called to speak and do what's right. We're called to honor the Lord and speak and do what's right. We have brothers and sisters around the world who are really suffering persecution, who are being killed, who are being imprisoned, who are being torn away from families, who are having their children taken away from them, who are being crucified, who are being beheaded. What we face here in America in terms of opposition is so radically different that it would be utterly shameful if we bowed down to the pressure of, well, I don't want someone to get upset with me on social media. Well, I don't want the local newspaper to write a negative article on my church. Well, I don't want a rich businessman to be offended and to pull his tithe out of my church. Shame on us if we back down from preaching the truth for fear of offending people or for fear of losing income or something like that. We're really suffering virtually nothing here in America compared to what brothers and sisters are suffering around the world. But thank you for the call, Grady. Look, on what basis do we just assume that our religious freedoms will always be here in America? On the one hand, I hope they will be. But on what basis do we say that they're guaranteed? Well, the Constitution, Bill of Rights, yeah, but they're being trashed right now. Foundational, fundamental freedoms and rights are being trashed right now. Who would have ever thought it would have happened the way it's happened and as quickly as it's happened? So who's to say it won't happen in a more extreme form still? Don't take it for granted. And when that day comes, don't fool yourself. If you're a pastor, a leader, or a person with public platform, don't fool yourself into thinking, oh, well, if it becomes illegal to stand for the truth, then I'll do it. I mean, I won't do it now, but if it becomes illegal, then I'll really stand. Oh, yeah, right. Right. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, I can't run a mile, but I'll run the marathon. Ah, I don't think so. 866-34-TRUTH. One more call in Charlotte, North Carolina. Van, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. Right now, yes, Dr. Brown. I feel that, yeah, I think we it could happen. I feel that they could. It would become illegal to even talk about matters such as gays, because so much is going on now. And a lot of times the churches are sleeping when all this is going on. And yep. It could be took away. I mean, it's popping up slowly. Satan is doing it slowly, so a lot of people feel like, no, I don't think this could happen. No, that could happen out in Texas. Okay, they tested the water. They see how they could get away with so much, how many things they could get away with. But they folded under pressure. But, yes, they're coming back in different ways and different forms. So, yeah, I feel like, yeah, it's going to be a time when the church is going to have to go on the ground, when it's going to be illegal on Bibles. It's going to be illegal to even talk in public about religion.
Mm. Van, thank you for weighing in. And yeah, you're right. We think, well, it happened there, it's not here. Well, it happened there or then, not now. Well, it's getting closer and closer by the day. Yeah, so look, is the day actually going to come when it could be a situation like existed in communist China, especially in the years past, was still not good there, but was worse in the past? Are we going to see that happen in America? I hate the thought of it, but tell me why you can say for sure it won't happen. Thank you for the call. Look, let me say this again. Don't deceive yourself into thinking that if it really became illegal to preach the gospel in America, if it really became illegal to stand for biblical morality in America, then you'd take a strong stand because then the lines would be drawn. Hey, listen, friend. If you're compromised now when it's easy, don't think you're going to be bold as a lion when it's hard. If you're compromised now in the midst of the freedoms we do enjoy, although they are being encroached upon, if you're compromised now, if you're cowardly now, don't think that suddenly when it gets really difficult, when there's real persecution, when there's real opposition, that's when you'll stand tall. No, quite the contrary. Those who are faithful with a little now will be faithful with more in the days to come. Those who don't bow the knee now, when it's still pretty easy to stand up for what's right compared to the price being faced by brothers and sisters in different parts of the world, those who don't stand up today when it's relatively easy are not going to stand up tomorrow when their lives could depend on it. A few weeks back, I had Jonathan Kahn, New York Times best-selling author, joined me on the radio to talk about his new book, The Mystery of the Shemitah, the 3,000-year-old mystery that holds the secret of America's future, the world's future, and your future. A DVD has now been released that deals with this very issue. Jonathan Kahn has now put this on a riveting DVD talking about America's future and where we stand right now. And it's something that you ought to look at and consider and ask serious questions about. We now have the DVD. We're making it available to you along with the CD of the interview that we'll do together on Wednesday. And you get both the DVD and the CD for just $20, and we'll pay the postage. Order as many copies as you like, 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Once more, that's 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website where you can also watch some excerpts from the DVD. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. My bottom line today, now is the time to stand and be bold. If we're compromised and cowardly in this day of ease, what's going to happen when real persecution breaks? Christians being slaughtered around the world? Why don't we really care here in the West?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think it is that unbelievable slaughter of Christians taking place around the world today, and most of us in the West are almost indifferent to it? Why do you think that is? Because people don't speak our language? Because it's not within our own borders? Because people are a different color? Why are we so indifferent to the slaughter of our brothers and sisters? I mean, there is the world outcry over the murder of the Charlie Hebdo satirists in France. Was it because they were just everyday worldly people that got killed? In France, we can relate to a little bit more in America, but if it's Syria, if it's Iraq, if it's especially Africa, Kenya, Nigeria, that's just so far away and the cultures are so different and doesn't affect us. Or could it be that the world doesn't care when Christians are killed, but they do care when others of a worldly mentality are killed? 866-34-TRUTH. This is Michael Brown. I am delighted to be with you on this Monday here on The Line of Fire. I've got a bunch of things I want to talk to you about as well today. But check this out. Check this out. This is wild. I mean, absolutely wild. Ongoing criticism of President Obama's plan to work with Iran in terms of removing sanctions and a nuclear deal. Prime Minister Netanyahu unceasingly warning against it. Saudi Arabia not happy with it. Remember, Saudi Arabia, they are Sunni Muslims. Iran, they are Shiite Muslims, so the two are often in opposition. Saudi Arabia funding Sunnis in Syria, Iran funding the Shias in Syria. So they're funding battles against each other. Same thing happening in Yemen, for example. But check this out. Check this out. Egyptian television host Taufik Okasha, on his top-rated program, Egypt Today, said this. Are you ready? This is Egypt. This is Egypt, which is also a predominantly Sunni Muslim country. Israel should, quote, trust in God and bomb Iran's Bushehr nuclear reactor. We are with you. And if you need fuel for the jets, we will give it to you. This is Egyptian television. You got to be kidding me. Wow. Then how about this? Israeli opposition leader Yitzhak Herzog and Tzipi Livni demanded that Washington give a green light to any military action Israel deems necessary in facing the Iranian threat. Herzog and Livni have been outspoken critics of Netanyahu's approach to Obama and to the American president's handling of the Iran nuclear crisis. Even so, Herzog and Livni themselves suggested fundamental dissatisfaction with Obama's nuclear deal by demanding that the U.S., quote, give legitimization ahead of time to any action Israel will need to take to protect its safety. So the strongly left-leaning opposition leaders, Herzog and Livni, they are demanding that Washington put in writing, yeah, whatever Israel has to do militarily, America will back. Egypt, major TV host saying, we're with you. If you need fuel for your jets, we'll give it to you. Go take out Iran's nuclear reactor. This is really eye-opening, friends, and shows the utter madness of the deal our government wants to make with Iran. 866-34-TRUTH. Whole lot more to cover today on The Line of Fire.
Change the world. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, here in America, rightly so, we remember for many, many years the Oklahoma City bombing. Even more devastating still, although it was not the work of an American, but more devastating still in terms of the shock of it and the loss of lives, the 9/11 terrorist attack. We remember well the Boston Marathon attack from last year, the horrors of that with several people killed and scores injured, some of them severely. Yet, if I talk to you about Garissa University in Kenya and 148 slaughtered, many Americans don't even know what that is. What university? When did this happen? I mean, you're talking about radical Muslims going through a university while Christians were praying in the morning. And because there was just no security there, by the time security arrived, several hours had gone by. By the time the army and others arrived, and they separated the Christians from the Muslims, according to the accounts I've read. So if you could recite from the Quran or knew the prayers, and if you could identify as a Muslim and demonstrate it, then you weren't killed. Christians ordered to lie down on the floor, faces down, shot in the head, and killed. 148. Can you imagine if something like that happened in one of our campuses? Can you imagine if something like that happened just with secularists, staunch secularists, non-religious people at a place of business, say, in England? God forbid these things would happen, but I'm just saying if they did, the level of outcry. Look what happened with the massacre of the Charlie Hebdo journalist, satirist. And it's not like these were godly, saintly people standing for a godly, saintly cause. They may have been good people in terms of other respects to their lives, but they were satirists really with some very ugly things to say. I mean, they bashed Catholicism. They bashed other aspects of Christianity in the most obscene ways imaginable. Jesus himself mocked in the most obscene ways available, imaginable. And their attacks on Islam, while I'm not a Muslim or a defender of Islam in any way, their attacks on Islam were obviously offensive as well. They get slaughtered. Of course there's world outcry. There should be. Of course there is world shock over this. There should be. But why does that seem to be 100 times bigger in the minds of people around the world, especially in the West, than the slaughter of Christians in Kenya? Or how about the slaughter of Christians in Nigeria, where perhaps 10,000 have been slaughtered and way, 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 way more than that displaced from their homes? Why does the world seem to not even care or think about it? The girls that were kidnapped, 300 girls that were kidnapped, and you know, it was outrage for a little while, then we go about our business. Why is it like that? And why is it barely even a blip on our news about the slaughter of Christians in an ongoing way and the displacement of a total of hundreds of thousands in the Middle East by Muslim radicals? What do you think stands in the way? I want to talk to you about that today on the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH to weigh in. Let's just see. Oh, okay. Just one other local matter. One other local matter, and then I want to get to your calls on this and some other subjects as well. Last week, on Thursday night, I was at University of North Carolina in Greensboro doing a presentation. And if you were there that night, any of our Greensboro listeners, if you were there that night, again, my apologies for failing to mention it on our Greensboro station on AM 830 to let you know I was going to be there last week. But I did a lecture on God and sex, basically showing why God's ways are best from many, many different angles and how God's ways are ways of life. And when we deviate from that, we have societal destruction and death and different things along those lines. Well, the night before that, I found out that Matthew Vines, the man who wrote God and the Gay Christian, who's a professing gay Christian himself, that he was over at UNC Charlotte I don't know how that event went, if you were there. You give me a call if you happen to be at that event, or if you were at the event in Greensboro. I'd like to weigh in on that. 866-34-TRUTH. There's a note, though, in Q Notes, which I don't know where they get their information from, but it's completely inaccurate. This is the local gay newspaper of the Carolinas. It says, also last year, Vines debated Concord's Dr. Michael Brown, a well-known anti-LGBT activist who has often opposed local LGBT organizations and equality initiatives. In other words, I'm a follower of Jesus and I love the word. Brown later complained that Vines had stopped communicating with him after the debate. When did I do that? Just curious, since it's about me, when did I do that? When did I complain that he stopped communicating with me after the debate? He never communicated with me before the debate or after the debate. I reached out to him quite a number of times and invited him to have formal debates, or to come on my radio show, or to have a formal moderated debate, or for him to be joined by another scholar, and I'd be joined by another scholar. And I would have gladly just reached out on a personal level, caring for him as an individual and praying for him as I do. When did I complain that he stopped communicating? I never had communication with him before or after the debate. Just curious what your source is for that. Vines explained in response that Brown had no interest in true conversation. In other words, if I don't agree with you, I don't have an interest in true conversation. If I don't affirm your viewpoint, I don't have an interest in true conversation. If I find no credible scholarship backing up your position, I don't have an interest in true conversation. Isn't it amazing that I've had dialogue with Orthodox rabbis and other Jewish leaders for decades now in the midst of deep, deep, deep differences we have? And we've had dialogue for decades in the midst of our differences. And I dialogue with people all the time that I differ with. In fact, if you're in Greater Charlotte a week from Thursday, April 23rd, Thursday night, April 23rd, I am scheduled to do a dialogue with a former Christian, now militant atheist, at the Universal Unitarian Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. We'll give you more details, but put that on your calendar for a week from Thursday. I don't know anything more about it than that dialogue on Christianity and atheism. So Q Notes quotes Matthew Vines as saying, I'm happy to do dialogues, debates, etc. with anyone I feel that the event is likely to be constructive, respectful, and relationship building. I did a quote debate with Michael Brown this summer that was largely a waste of time because Brown is not interested in listening to and learning from LGBT people, only pontificating about them. Matthew, that's complete falsehood. That's biased, ugly falsehood. First, I'm constantly trying to build bridges and build relationships and meet with people and talk with people and constantly being refused by folks on your side, including you. I would have been very happy to continue a dialogue in a caring, loving way. And when you go back and listen to that debate, anyone listening will see that I was gracious and respectful. And God knows the agony that I've carried in my heart over these issues as I prayed for those who profess to be gay Christians and wrestled with the issues and sought to see the world through their eyes and prayed for a heart to understand their positions, which I reject based on God's word and God's truth. What's clear is that you want dialogue that's going to go in one particular direction, which is unfortunate. Vines also said the organizers of the debate never fully informed him of the format of Brown's participation. Actually, what happened was he was asked to do a debate on Moody Radio, on Up for Debate. He said he would do it. Moody then contacted me, said, would you debate him? I said, sure. Then he found out he was debating me, so he didn't know he was debating me, but not because Moody was being duplicitous, because they hadn't secured me as a debate partner yet when they asked if he would do a debate. For me, just ask me on and then tell me who the opponent's going to be. Fine with me. As for format and so on, why not just say the truth? The problem with the debate was that you could not, Matthew, you could not bring a single verse to support your position. Why don't we put the cards on the table? Because there is not a single verse in the entire Bible that supports homosexual practice. Why not put that on the table and be truthful rather than come up with false accusations against others? The only reason the debate happened was because Moody Radio didn't tell me it was even a debate until Brown announced it on social media. May I ask what the Up for Debate program is about, if not debate? Why call it Up for Debate? All in all, the conversation was about as edifying as one could expect given the inappropriate way it was arranged. I see James White in the same vein as Michael Brown. He showed no desire whatsoever to learn from or listen to LGBT people. He simply wants to preach condemnation of people he hasn't even bothered to get to know. There are far, far better interlocutors and far more respectful conversations I'm happy to have. That isn't one of them. Hey, Matthew, it's not Christian to lie. It's not Christian to lie. What you said about James White, myself, those are lies. Or if you genuinely believe them, you've believed lies, sir. I say that not with joy, but with pain. For those that were at UNC Charlotte, there's a whole lot you're not being told. Truth, truth, let's bring it to the light, put it on the table. We'll come back, go right to your calls about the slaughter of Christians in other parts of the world. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Why do you think there is so little outrage in America, so little shock, so little grief when Christians in other parts of the world are slaughtered? Is it that we're just so flooded with other things, with entertainment, with distractions, we don't even focus on it? Is it because it's too far away? Is it because the people don't speak our language? Is it because we're just used to Christians being slaughtered? Is it because of the color of people's skins? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Bessemer City, North Carolina. Al, you're on the Line of Fire.
Yes, Dr. Brown. From all you said today, I agree with just about everything you've said. We're brothers and sisters in Christ, no matter where the people are located. I think it's been a gradual erosion. I think there's been a satanic influence in government, starting with the military, like Don't Ask, Don't Tell, earlier on. And then when we send troops to the Mideast, they're not allowed to have Bibles in their own tent.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when they're in foreign countries, they're not supposed to go into the cities and mingle with the people, even though, you know, it's our troops shedding their blood on the line for them, as if we're second-rate mercenaries. And then I think the government is in collusion with the major corporations to keep the people divided. And they've been eroding on parental influence, where it's become like a nanny state. They want everybody squabbling over little issues so that they have the power, that they delegate the contracts and make the things. And
all right, so how would that tie in directly with why we would be indifferent to the slaughter of Christians in other parts of the world?
We shouldn't be indifferent.
Yeah, I totally agree with
people,
you.
All they want to do is watch their NFL game or this or that or baseball game, but keep a lot of minor things stirred up. I think it's a natural instinct for a man to want to protect a woman, especially if you're married to the woman or it's a relative or something. Men have a natural instinct to protect a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Getting back to the gay issue, and then to put them in combat positions. I think it should have raised up red flags long ago.
Right, got it. Yeah, and just jumping in, that's of course, another subject as well. Hey, I appreciate you weighing in. Let me ask this. And it could open a can of worms. But, okay, we can relate better to France. Say, most people in the West can relate better to France than to Africa. You know, it's a Western country and culture, even though French and English are different languages, you know, on some level, not as close as England, but, you know, we're allies more, and you know, the can of worms would be, we're talking about at least Western culture and at least people of majority same color skin. All right, you talk about Sudan, those are blacks who were slaughtered by other blacks in their country, Muslims killing Christians there. As many as a million slaughtered, perhaps more. Why did it take so long before we took notice of the genocide here in America? and Christians being slaughtered in Kenya, Nigeria. Is it because it's such a different culture and different color skin for most Americans, most in the West, and therefore we don't relate to it? Now you could say, no, I don't think that's it, because the Christians being slaughtered in the Middle East, I mean, they're Middle Eastern, they may be a little darker, but they're, you know, they're not dark-skinned same way, and they're being slaughtered. And look, these are things that are very troubling. These are things that are very troubling. And I believe there are several different factors together, several different factors that play in together. One of them is just further away. You don't have it. It hasn't been put on video for the most part, so we're not actually watching. I mean, these days you got to at least have some video footage, right, to get our attention, because we're so desensitized. We hear about beheading all the time. We hear about people being crucified all the time. We hear about people being buried alive all the time. We hear about villages being burned down and hundreds of Christians being slaughtered and hundreds of thousands of people being displaced. Well, that's just news all the time. You know, we need some kind of graphic video to get our attention. It's a shame, but it's what we have come to today in America. And it could be the different cultures, and for some, even people of different colored skin, that we react more from one to the other. And it could be we are just accustomed to Christians being cut down. So either way, we as believers can't fall into this trap. At the very least, pastors, leaders, please hear me for one moment. At the very least, we should pray regularly for the persecuted church in our public gatherings, be it in our home gatherings, be it in our Sunday morning services, or whenever we happen to gather publicly. Would that be too hard to do, even on a regular basis, not just once a year, but would that be too hard to do in terms of remembering the persecuted, remembering those who are suffering as if we were there with them? Here, look at it like this, and then I want to talk about persecution in America in a moment, all right? Question I asked in the first hour, I'll put forth again in the second hour. Let's just say that something happened to you. You were in another country, and like Pastor Saeed, for example, you were in another country sharing the gospel or doing humanitarian work, and then you got kidnapped by Muslim radicals or some other group because you were preaching the gospel. You got kidnapped or you got imprisoned. Wouldn't you think that your family would absolutely do everything they could to stand for you, that they wouldn't just go on with normal life, that they wouldn't just think, oh, well, I wonder what happened to Mike. Well, oh, he got kidnapped for his faith, put in jail for his faith in Saudi Arabia. Oh, all right, well, that's a shame. Hey, what's for dinner? No. You wouldn't expect that. You'd expect your family would be doing everything they knew how, praying constantly, taking whatever action they could, trying to make a trip over themselves, demanding our government do what could be done, talking to other agencies to try to work as a liaison to get you out of here. That's just what you would expect. That's what I would expect our brothers and sisters around the world should have, the solidarity of their family, should they not. We can at the very least pray. We can find out if there are other things we can do. You can go to websites like persecution.com or opendoors.com and other websites that help the persecuted church and say, okay, what can I do to make a difference? All right, friends, something you can do that will help alert you to righteousness, that will help awaken you to what could well be happening in America. My friend Jonathan Kahn, New York Times best-selling author, has just put out an exciting and riveting DVD based on his book, The Mystery of the Shemitah, a 3,000-year-old secret that may hold the key to America's future. It's an eye-opener. It's one you should look at and say, wow, could this be true? And evaluate it based on Scripture. You can get the DVD along with the CD of the interview I'll be doing with Jonathan later this week. Just $20, postage paid for both. Give us a call to order, 1-800-278-9978. Order as many copies as you like, 1-800-278-9978.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey, I spotted this note on Facebook yesterday, and it blessed me to see it. It's from Nelson. Check this out. My journey of faith brought me from Christianity to atheism to agnosticism, back to theism, Judaism, and now fully settled in my Christian worldview as part of the Gentile church grafted into the promises of Messianic Christianity. Dr. Michael Brown's apologetics and scholarly teachings enabled me to complete my journey of faith to reach the destination, not a place, but a person in our Lord Jesus Yeshua. Thanks, Dr. Brown. Nelson, my great joy, and thank you for posting that. What a tremendous blessing to read that. Someone else posted this, and I want you to know that it goes both ways. We hear the good and we hear the bad. He's the most reliable source if you want to increase your knowledge about the real Jesus Christ, the Jewish roots, and many more subjects. I praise the Lord for his life. Kind words spoken to me, but not everyone is so kind. Brian said, I think Dr. Brown believes he's got the market cornered on the Bible. The last time I checked, the only one that has all the answers is the Lord Jesus himself. That's all I've got to say about that. What in the world would make him think that I think I have a corner on the Bible? And how about this one? Someone was very upset with me for differing with News 4 correspondent John Snow in England. We have a YouTube video where I take issue with his view on Israel's war with Gaza. And he said this, I thought you're a devout Christian. Now I know that you are not more than a Zionist Jew. Oh, no way that a Christian could stand with Israel in any way today. No, I'm not a devout Christian. I am a Zionist Jew. Then how about this one about me? Oh, I quoted this the other day. Delightful. Another mealy-mouthed propagandist peddling tripe to the ignorant. And I found a bunch of these very interesting. Yeah, you're always going to get this kind of nonsense coming your way. It's called speaking the truth and getting opposed for the truth. It's called being a public figure. But somebody started posting this on YouTube, but they got blocked because we don't allow certain things to be said. false Jews equal not Jewish Jews who read and follow the Talmud, which comes from evil Babylon, and they follow witchcraft Kabbalah and are satanic, not of God. Not really Jewish. This equals all Jews today. Either they practice evil or they are secular equals non-believers, so not of God. And then when some folks were standing against this guy's position, he goes after some people and says, these are obviously your screen names and you are both Mossad agents. So you're working for the Israeli Secret Service, basically. You're Mossad agents and liars. Travis, you are a Mossad troll liar. Amir, a BU, eat blank, who are you? Equals nobody. Of course, profanity is automatically going to get somebody blocked. But, you know, it's scary what people believe. It's scary the irrational stuff they believe. Look, when I just quoted from Matthew Vines in the last half hour, not putting him in the same category as this gentleman, but putting him in the category of speaking utter falsehoods based on either what he's heard or just outright lies, that's disturbing. That's disturbing. And what's more disturbing is others then believe it. People actually believe this stuff about Israel and the Jewish people. Wow. Which leads me to a question. Could the day come here in America when doing a show like this or preaching what the Bible says about homosexual practice from the pulpit, could the day come in America when that would be illegal? What do you think?
God of light, hear our cry. Send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, a few minutes ago, I tweeted this out. If you are cowardly today in these times of minor persecution in the USA, don't think you'll be bold tomorrow when things get really rough. Don't deceive yourself into thinking like that. Oh, if they take away our liberties, then I'll get bold. Oh, yeah. So let me understand this. 866-34-TRUTH. Let me understand this. If preaching the gospel today will not land you in prison, if preaching the gospel today will not cause you to be thrown out of your church, if preaching the gospel today will not cause you to be taken off the airwaves, generally speaking, and you still compromise, and you still hold back from preaching the truth because of fear of man or fear of what's going to happen to your opinion, if you're afraid to speak the truth now, when we have so many freedoms in America still, although they're being diminished, what makes you think that you're going to be bold as a lion when real persecution comes, if it does? If I'm afraid of someone yelling at me and that causes me to back down, what makes me think that I'd be bold if someone put a gun to my head? If I can't hit a minor league pitcher in the lowest level minors, what makes me think I'm going to be able to hit, talking about baseball analogy, I'm going to be able to hit the best pitcher in the big leagues? If I get worn out walking up a flight of steps, what makes me think I'm going to be able to run a marathon? It's foolishness to think that way. If we're compromised because we don't want someone to unfriend us on Facebook, if we're compromised because we don't want someone to come against us in a letter to the editor of the local newspaper, if we're compromised because we don't want some big giver in our church to stop giving, if we're compromised now when there's little pressure, what makes us think we're going to be bold and strong when real pressure comes? So in my latest article, which you can read by going to AskDrBrown.org and clicking on latest article. In my latest article, what's really behind the attacks on religious freedoms, I say this: I believe there's a common thread that unites the new atheism, the radical left, and the gay activist revolution. It is the philosophy that says we will not have God and his son rule over us. Reminiscent of Psalm 2. For the kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us tear off their bonds and cast away their cords from us. I do not believe that we should try to establish a Christian theocracy and force America to live by our standards and values and force church attendance or whatever. No, absolutely not. When Jesus returns, he will rule and reign. There will be a theocracy on the earth. But before then, we seek to influence as best as we can. We seek to be a positive influence in society, living godly lives, raising solid families, working for social justice, caring for the poor, advocating for righteousness, being disciples and making disciples, and in a democratic republic like America, voting according to our principles. The fact is, religious freedoms are a bedrock to our society. Religious freedoms are foundational in our society, and one day every human being will have to give account to God, and America as a nation right now has to give account to God. So there is a constant pushback. There's a constant pushback saying that our, what they would call fundamentalism, has got to go. Could it be that the day would come when it would actually be illegal to talk about certain subjects from the pulpit, that it would be illegal to talk about certain, I'm talking about biblical subjects, from behind the radio mic or on TV? Could that come in America? I'm going to go to the phones momentarily, 866-348-7884. But let me point out that if I told you just 10 years ago what would be coming in America, the radical shift in public opinion, the radical shift of where politicians stand, the radical shift of how courts are ruling, the radical shift of what's happening in the business world, the radical shift even in some churches. If I was to tell you 10 years ago that all these things would happen with regard to the turning against Christians who hold to biblical sexual values and biblical meaning of marriage, natural, organic marriage. If I was to tell you 10 years ago where we'd be today, that would be less extreme than saying in 10 years it'll be illegal to preach this from the pulpit, or in 10 years it'll be illegal to preach this over the airwaves. Oh, I'm not prophesying that. I'm simply telling you it's less of a jump based on how quickly things have turned and how radically they have turned, and how passionate and vociferous the opposition is, and how intensely we are demonized for differing with gay activism and for not bowing down to the ideology of gay activism. It is a far less severe jump from where we were 10 years ago to today, from saying in 10 years it could be illegal to preach against gay, quote, marriage from the pulpit or to speak against it through the airwaves. What do you think? Do you think that that day could come to America? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Frederick, Maryland. Larry, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I enjoy your show.
Thank you, sir.
I believe that everything you said is pretty much right on. And basically, I would say within 30 years, maybe even closer to 15, we won't have that freedom to share the gospel. I think there was a gentleman up in Pennsylvania even a couple of years ago. They tried to give him 47 years for speaking. Now, I can't remember the name or the exact place in Pennsylvania, but they were trying to give him 47 years for sharing the gospel.
Well, so, I mean, there were folks arrested in Philadelphia for trying to share the gospel at a gay pride event, and they were taken to court. Those kinds of things have happened. And look, when the IRS instituted its laws, again, this did not come just from the government itself, but from the IRS, instituted its restrictions on what pastors could speak about from the pulpit. That's ultimately how it trickled down to pastors. You know, that was something new in our history. I'm not saying we get up and preach politics from the pulpit every Sunday, but the idea that we have to avoid certain subjects to be tax exempt, I mean, these are new concepts. So could something else happen? Hey, look, right now, courts have ruled in the same state, actually, that a Christian baker is required to bake a cake for a same-sex, quote, wedding, whereas a gay baker is not required to bake a cake saying that marriage is the union of one man and one woman. So the hypocrisy and the double standards in the courts is mind-boggling. Why couldn't it come to the pulpits as well?
It's no surprise.
Why is it no surprise? I agree with you. Why?
Because things are getting progressively worse. We don't have confidence in our government, for one thing. I haven't had confidence in the government in years. I don't believe hardly anything they say, the majority of them, especially those who've been in power for a long time. But at the same time, as far as you were talking about persecution of Christians, again, I would think within 30 years, it's going to be worldwide. The mindset is going to be there because of the lies that's constantly being put out. There's another word for lies I'm trying to think of.
Propaganda. Yeah, and listen, Larry.
Propaganda.
Yeah, listen, I was in one country recently, and a leader was telling me about a conversation he had with an African leader of an African government, and how this leader told him that he's under tremendous pressure from America, actually received a call from the highest levels of our administration telling him that his country needed to change his views on homosexual practice. When I was in Singapore, I was told by business people last September, business leaders told me the pressure that they're under from American giant companies, that they need to change their policies with regard to gay and lesbian issues. A professor at a major university, perhaps the leading university in Singapore, told me the pressure that they're under there, and they're working with a major liberal institution here in America that is aggressively helping them to hire out and proud homosexual professors to change the climate at the schools. We think churches won't be under pressure. We actually think that. Well, hey, Larry, thank you for the call. All right, I'm going to get to some more calls on the other side of the break. There is a press conference that Janet Porter has set up. called Restrain the Judges, scheduled for April 27th in front of the Supreme Court building. The Supreme Court justices are scheduled to begin hearing the briefs regarding redefining marriage on April 28th. And it's got quite an assembly of people. Aaron Klein, who lost his Sweet Cakes Bakery when he refused to participate in a lesbian cult wedding. Reverend Bill Owens, Coalition of African American Pastors. Greg Quinlan, ex-homosexual. Grace Harley, ex-transgender. Pastor Corey Shankleton, ex-homosexual. Peter LaBarber, Americans for Truth. Former Majority Leader Tom DeLay, likely to be there. Restrain the Judges. Interesting. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you think the day could come when it would be illegal to oppose same-sex so-called marriage from the pulpit or through the airwaves? Could that day come in America? Or we'd be told, like a street preacher in England, that he could not use certain texts from the Bible. Judge told him, if he wanted to speak about homosexuality in the street, do not use Leviticus 20:13 in referring to what the Bible says. This is England. Why couldn't it happen in America? And enough things have happened that are close enough to it that make one wonder. And let me repeat this, as I tweeted out earlier. If you're cowardly today in these days of minor persecution in the USA, don't think you'll be bold when it gets really tough. Come on, that's a myth. That is a complete myth. It's a myth to think when that day comes, oh, then I'll get bold. When that day comes, then I'll be strong. But no, it doesn't work like that. If what I sow today, I'm going to reap tomorrow. If I'm sowing cowardice today, I'm not going to reap boldness tomorrow. If I'm sowing compromise today, I'm not going to reap conviction tomorrow. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Jacksonville, Florida. Karina, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks.
Yeah, so just in regards to this conversation, I definitely think it's possible that there's going to come a time when it's going to be illegal to discuss biblical point of view. And I mean, it's unfortunate, but I am loving what you're saying about being bold, because I definitely think it's possible, if not officially, you know, legal documents, legal government laws. I think it's already happening in a social context. Even here in the South, I'm from the North, I'm from New York, and so I'll be honest, up there having conversations at the fingertip that will combat what I believe, combat biblical point of view, it was refreshing to be up there because, you know, with the different point of views, I was able to be on my toes. I was able to quickly think of scripture, quickly debate, come even with facts, not even just biblically, but supporting God from even scientific point of view. And now I'm here in the South, and I think it's different. It's just different culturally. And people are, I'll be honest, a bit more complacent, a bit more apathetic. And I think, like you're saying, people think, oh, well, but if that time comes, I'll be ready. And yet they're not ready now when it's easier. I think that time is coming. And I do love what you're saying, that we need to practice what we preach, and kind of this concept of be faithful in the little things. Now, when it's still legal for us to stand on what we believe in, to say what we want to say, even on Facebook, even on media, and I'm come from this generation, and I think it's a bit cowardly, I'll be honest, for us to combat truth on social media as opposed to face-to-face. But at the same time, if you can't even do that...
Yeah, come on, if we can't... Right, if we can't do it on social media, where we're not face-to-face with someone, how in the world do we think we're going to stand up when it is face-to-face? It can really cost us. Yeah, great point. Hey, thank you for weighing in. I appreciate it very much. This is a call to boldness. This is a call to courage. This is a call to stand up Well, we have the opportunity to do so. 866-34-TRUTH. Over to Magna, Utah. Stephen, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good to talk with you, sir. I'm, 50 years ago when I was studying Josephus about the laws in Sodom and Gomorrah, where, as an example, when Lot and the angels came there, the people tried to get them to give them the men so they could, you know, do what with them. And it was the law. Josephus comments on that and says it was the law in Sodom and Gomorrah that anyone that came there had to conform to any proposition of homosexuality. And I thought, oh, my goodness. And then I read the prophecies of the coming of the Savior. He says that it'll be like in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. I thought, oh, no, that couldn't happen here. Well, there's a prophecy of the exact thing that you're talking about. This day is coming. It's prophesied it will come. And it's going to be a great motivation for the separation of those who are faithful and those who yield to the opposite.
Yeah. You know, it's a shame to see these things happening in our country. The positive is it is causing people to wake up. It is, in that regard, separating sheep from goats. It is. Let's stay in Utah. Ron in Ogden, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Michael, thank you for taking my call. I just want to comment. I think the persecution is going to happen much sooner rather than later. I think there's a combination of a storm on the horizon. We're facing an economic collapse, and once this occurs, the rules of this nation will change overnight, and I think that will be one of them.
Yeah, you know, one thing for sure, Ron, that we haven't experienced, and thanks for weighing in, we haven't seen a severe economic collapse. We haven't seen that. And sorry, I can't get to more calls. I'm sure this is a conversation we'll have again in coming days. But one thing that led to the Holocaust and the demonizing of the Jews was severe economic collapse in Germany. And when things hit certain levels, you know, there's the story about someone looking in the window of a store, seeing if there was anything they could buy there, they could afford to buy food or something like that. And they had a basket, and it was just filled to overflowing with money, with bills. And when they turned around, someone had stolen the basket but left the bills because they were basically worthless. That's the story that illustrates the level of the economic collapse. In point of fact, we've not yet had that happen in our generation in America. What if it did? What if it did? How easy would it be to scapegoat whoever the people were, whether it was Jews, whether it was blacks, whether it was Hispanics, whether it was gays, whether it was conservative Christians, whether it was Muslims? I mean, it's when you start with demonic scapegoating in times like that, it could be anybody. It could be anybody. Well, my guest this Wednesday is going to be Jonathan Kahn. Some of you will get to hear that interview. Jonathan's written another New York Times bestselling book, The Mystery of the Shemitah, the 3,000-year-old mystery that holds the secret of America's future, the world's future, and your future. And he does point to what he believes is going to be a massive economic collapse or great recession. Could he be right? We are now featuring a brand new DVD that came out to go along with the book, but it's standalone. You don't have to have the book. A compelling new DVD that will get you thinking and get you studying the issues carefully. You can get the DVD along with the CD of our interview for just $20 postage paid. Call 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Better still, go to AskDrBrown.org where you can watch a video about it. My bottom line today, friends, while we have the freedoms we have, let's take advantage of them and be bold and strong and courageous and fearless.